Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Whoop.
Hello!
Thank you.
Oh, welcome back.
This isn't where I sit, is it? Or is it? Did I sit here last time?
Yeah. Hannah's had a great interval. Oh, have we all had a good interval? Yay! Who's drinking? Yeah. Who had a wee? Excellent. You guys are making great choices. It gives me great pleasure to introduce our fantastic guest. Please scream, cheer, whoop, clap. Please welcome, it's Jinia Cheng. Hey, Jinia.
Thank you. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little bit hungover,
okay.
I have to say.
Okay. Yeah,
I wasn't going to have the third drink last night, and my friend was like, isn't literally the thing you're doing tomorrow drunk women solving crime? She was like, the most professional thing to do is turn up drunk. So
yeah. And you know what?
She was right. Yeah.
She was right. That was a good call. We have one question on this podcast, and that is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have recently, actually.
Recently?
Well, not recently, like 6 months. I don't know. Everything blurs in after COVID.
That's quite recent. Yeah. That's quite recent.
So I was outside of Roast Battle in Angel, which is where comedians make fun of each other. So probably deserved it. But I was just stood, luckily with my housemate and a few other comedians, by a bus stop. And just with my phone in my hand, and somebody in an electric bike just zoomed past and just snatched it. Yeah. But I count myself lucky because it was over in a second.
Right.
So, obviously one of the male comedians, who is probably shorter than me in these heels, he launched himself after this guy on an electric bike to the end of the road. I mean, we're all drunk, but obviously he didn't reach him, but,
nice. See, there's a real sense of camaraderie on the comedy circuit that we don't talk about because we're all roasting each other. That's really nice. But
the crime failed.
Yeah. Sometimes crime brings out the best in people.
I hate that bit where you run after trying to do the thing, and there must have been a point where he's like, I'm not going to catch him. I'm going to have to get about that.
Kept going.
We're going to get on the bus
one
together.
1 second after doing
so embarrassing.
And how hard you push because people are watching. Like, I have to just pretend I'm a little bit more fit. Yeah, I keep going.
I remember actually being at a bus stop and there was a woman came running out of a pub and she like had a handbag, but she wasn't holding it like it was her handbag. She like held it like that. And then some blokes came running out afterwards because she'd obviously just lifted this woman's whole handbag.
Okay.
And like, and they shouted, "Stop that woman!" And what I did, I was stood here and I just went... That is what I do in a situation like that.
Stop her with kindness.
Carry on.
I would definitely believe her.
The listeners, Hannah, just gestured a go right ahead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, podcast.
Okay. It's hard to remember.
It's kind of, because also to stop the, like, essentially being a hero is pushing someone off a bike now in this.
It's assaulting
in
someone.
This scenario.
It's a mix. It's a mix.
Yeah,
feeling.
And it was an electric bike.
It was electric.
Well.
It was just one second.
Because I've, like, you hear about those bikes and stuff all the time, but this is the first one I've heard firsthand that was an electric bike.
No.
It's like, damn.
Yeah, we haven't had an electric bike crime.
Really?
So this
yeah.
is very exciting.
6 months ago, I know.
I love it that electric bikes, I've been on one once, and I remember like cycling up a hill being like, I guess I'm fit now. And then I remembered, oh. I'm literally going like that because that's what you do, isn't it? You rev.
Yeah. But that's the thing. If I had an electric bike, surely I'd do something more exciting with it rather than like snatch someone's terribly broken iPhone that was like, I hope he stabbed himself with like my broken screen. So
I was going to ask, was it a decent phone?
Absolutely not. The worst thing is the admin. So we were just on the bus. I was just on my housemate's phone, like talking to this automated person at 3 in the morning. Like, yeah. Anyway, that was the worst part.
Yeah. So
the worst part of any crime is admin.
Admin? No, it's true.
It really is. Everyone hates admin so much. So did you report it to the police?
No, because it like with the phone would be worth like £10, right? So
okay,
I don't
and you didn't have insurance, so
no.
Okay. But that's okay. You don't have to.
Because I hate admin. So getting the insurance would have been admin. So
yeah, sure. I have insurance.
I actually don't think I do.
Do you have to?
Don't
make
steal
that happen,
my phone.
Or can you just have it? You have to take action to have it.
Probably have to call an automated line. And get really annoyed at it. So.
There's a lot of things
it's
in
not,
life I
it's
just
not
assume
worth
I
it.
Have. Like, I must have fire insurance because I don't like fire.
That checks out.
Just have it.
Yeah.
So we don't know. We presume nobody caught this guy.
No. Tried looking it up on Find My iPhone or whatever and nothing. It was like, yeah.
They disabled it.
I think so. Yeah. But it wasn't worth. I was just more like worried that I hadn't locked it. So like all my secrets would be out there. All the
what was the worst thing on there?
Did you say dick pics?
I did say it.
Yeah, but I want the worst thing on there.
The worst thing on there? Probably pictures of myself, you know?
Oh,
or the best thing.
Your face is so cute. Pictures of myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about you, but like I've my iPhone, like the dirtiest pictures on my iPhone of like moles close to my vagina. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, well, we'll take a picture of that, see if it changes in 6 months. You know, that sort of thing. Is that what the young people are doing?
Amazing.
Yeah, probably, because now you have apps where you can take a photo, right? And then it diagnoses everything that you got. Yeah. So laughing
everything.
And learning. Yeah.
I've got a few things.
That sounds so fun.
Yeah. So everyone's
can you point it at strangers and be like, what's wrong with this dickhead? Narcissism.
How bad was the admin? How long did it take you to get a new phone?
Oh, where do we start? So I have an American Express card. I know, and they...
Nobody's ever
the man
heckled.
With the shirt, yeah.
Heckled a type of credit card before, but there we go.
It is boo.
Not accepted everywhere,
yeah,
boo.
Exactly. And when I finally got through to a human, they said I had to write a letter. Yeah, a handwritten. Because I'm so bad at admin, I didn't change my address when I moved.
Oh.
So they were like, you have to write a letter to change your address.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, they gave you a shit show of admin.
I was like, I'll cancel my card then.
Yeah. You have all my sympathy. I would not have a phone anymore. I'd be like, well, I just don't have a phone now.
Yeah, I'm off grid. It's too much.
Yeah. And now I don't have a bank.
Exactly. Oh, so that was the worst. But otherwise, you know, I count myself very lucky. It's over an instant, just a bit of admin, and yeah. So.
Okay. Because we always ask on this podcast, too, if you had the perpetrator now, what would you say to them or do to them?
I'd be like, where'd you get that electric bike? Like, it was so powerful.
Yeah. Nice bike.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not as fit as you think you are.
Yeah, it's a false sense of power.
Yeah. I'll race you with a normal bike.
Yeah. Oh my God, false sense of power. Yeah. I live in Brighton and everybody has electric bikes, so it's very hilly there. And I'm just going to start shouting that, like, false sense of power.
Yeah. I'm not impressed.
Yeah. Everyone knows.
That's what you want. Is you want an electric bike that looks like it's not an electric bike,
yeah.
Right? Because that way people, oh, they'll be stunned.
It's
you.
Like, you know, when you're like, you have like a 5-year-old and they wear like a superhero costume and it's got fake muscles.
Yes. It's exactly. Like that.
Yeah, it's about time people trashed electric bikes.
Oh, you're saving the planet, are you? Very slowly, well done.
Do you mean all those kids aren't really jacked? That's just what.
So weird. Oh. I mean, some of them are. Their parents make them. All right. Now that we've crossed into an interesting territory, shall we talk about some true crime? Yay! Thank you for sharing that story. Now, the case that we'll be discussing tonight involves theft. Yes. Something exotic.
Ooh. Just like my case.
This one also involves market forces and squeezing through a tiny hole, which is
the name of Sarah's sex tape.
Nice. I'm going to just start going. Holding the microphone to the audience now. Okay, now I'm going to start this case where something is stolen from a museum worth hundreds and thousands of pounds and or dollars.
Big difference.
I don't want to give too much away.
Did you say hundreds and thousands or hundreds of thousands of pounds and or dollars?
Okay. And so my first question to you guys is, what do you think it was? It could be anything. Oh, go wild.
Museum.
Is it a dinosaur?
Dinosaur from Hannah George.
I just think you think museum, you think dinosaur, don't you? You think T-Rex.
Yep.
I mean, how much
you do?
How much does that go for? I don't know. Hundreds of thousands of dollars or pounds.
The main thing I know about the sale of dinosaur bones is that what's his name?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage bought one.
Yes, he did. Really?
And then he had to sell it when he got divorced.
That's funny because Nicolas Cage was almost going to be in Jurassic Park as one of the characters.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember who. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
He was almost cast as one of the other. I know. It'd
that
been
just
a weird
feels.
Film.
That would be so weird.
Such a different film then.
Maybe he was like, you know, he couldn't let it go. He was like, I want it.
Yeah.
Was he like a velociraptor or something? Like, he just went like, whoa. Man. Wrong. I tried to do a Nick Cage impression before. I feel like it was spot on.
They got to do that in Jurassic Park 5. So we have dinosaur. Did you say whole dinosaur or just dinosaur head?
No. Whole dinosaur, man. Whole thing.
Oh, the whole dinosaur.
Whole dinosaur. That is hard to put in your handbag.
What else could have been stolen from a museum worth hundreds and thousands?
I don't know if it's because I've been reading a lot about the royal family this week.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe some sort of crown or like jewel.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Nice.
Well, that was mine. So I'm going to go with... something marble.
Maybe the Elgin marble. Some Elgin. Wow, now that takes us into an interesting area because technically.
Does everyone know what
stolen.
That is except me?
I know.
What is that?
Well, Katie will explain it better than I will.
Ancient
They're from Greece.
Ancient Greece marbles of the from the classical era that are in the British Museum that Greece wants back. And we're like, what? No!
And there is a fantastic little note in the British Museum that's like, sort of like, oh, we'll explain. They're confused. It was a gift.
So I mean, that should be at the front of the entire British Museum anyway.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. Look at all these gifts we got with all our guns. People are so generous. But that is not what we're here to talk about, though it is definitely crimes. So, the crimes of history. Now, none of you were right.
Okay.
The thing that was stolen was 290... Sorry. The thing that was stolen was...
Is this the feather case?
Well, hold that thought.
Okay, sorry.
Do you know about this?
Don't answer
that yet. Okay. The thing that was stolen was 299 stuffed exotic birds. Oh. Can't believe it. No one got that. So do you know about this case?
Very, very little. Don't worry. And even if I did, I would have forgotten it by now. The perfect guest. I'm one of the hosts.
Well, you might know the next question then. My next question is, what year do you think this is? What year do people want dead birds?
Stuffed exotic birds.
I mean, they're timeless. Really.
1912 from Sarah, very subtly saying 1912.
It's a question what they want the birds from. And you said the feather case, you gave it away. So they want the feathers potentially. So
they might want the... What else is there? Like, there's no guts left. They want the beaks for beak necklaces.
So, like, maybe for, like, a duvet cover. I'm thinking.
A very exotic duvet cover.
Yeah. Like a duvet cover in what's a good hotel? I was going to say Pizza Express. Because I was thinking, I travel a lot, that'd be funny. And I was thinking, no, what's the one up? Premier Inn. Sometimes it's nice to see how the sausage gets made, isn't it?
Like, apart from the fact that you apparently sleep in Pizza Express, yes. The question was, what year is this? Oh,
right. I just started thinking about duvets, and I was like, well, when was the first duvet? Is the question. So I don't think they had duvets because, like, my granddad, like, whenever we stayed at his house, like, he never had duvets, and I thought that was so weird because he'd have, like, a sheet
blanket
and then sheets and then blankets.
Okay.
And I thought that was very old-fashioned.
Okay.
And it was in the 90s and he was 80, so it was sort of like, so I'm saying they didn't have duvets in the 90s.
I love you're committing to the bits.
I'm just going to make this longer. So I think it was 1962.
So 1962. Mm. Ginia, what year do you think it was?
I don't know. I'm stuck on the 299 of the birds. That's what I'm thinking
about. It's very specific, isn't it?
I don't know how that would be relevant to the year, but like maybe 1920s.
Okay, 1920s. Mm. Okay.
That's definitely wrong.
Okay. Oh, 1920s. Yeah. What a good thought. It's more recent than both of those, but I don't really. 2000.
Oh, wow.
2011.
Oh. Oh, well, Taylor Glenn gets it. It is 2009. Oh.
Yeah. Does she deserve a cheer, though? She knows about the game.
I know. Well done, Taylor, for remembering something you read for the first time.
So, the museum in question is Tring Natural History Museum, 30 miles outside of London in Hertfordshire, not far from me. I have beef with Tring, but we don't have time. I don't really. I mean, once I had to stay in a hotel in Tring, and there was.
How are the duvets?
Adequate.
Okay, nice.
But I talked about it in another podcast, so listen to the Ed Byrne episode. And then you'll know why I have beef with Tring that isn't really beef, it's just me complaining. Now, what's weird about this case is this crime happens, but it actually isn't spotted for several months. I think partly because these birds were locked away in drawers that people just weren't checking.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like a, don't we used to have birds?
Yeah, he just left that one. There was 300 birds. It's just, well, I'm sure there was more.
Like we had like a family before, at least. A full flock.
Like, no, you've misremembered. It was always this sparse. Well, these birds are important scientifically. I will tell you a bit now. These birds were collected by Alfred Russel Wallace, who was a contemporary of Darwin. Oh. And he spent years collecting these specimens from all over the world, slash stealing them. His history. But he would send these specimens back. A lot of them were in the Natural History Museum, and then they got sent to... So Tring Museum is basically like the bird specialist branch of the Natural History Museum. So all the birds
Tring,
get sent there.
We keep birds in drawers.
Yeah. Only some of them are on display. So basically Darwin's mate collected these specimens. The reason that they're important scientifically is because they show differences in species, environments and pollution levels. We can determine how much more mercury and whatever is in the sea and the environment now. It's not quite that, but it's something like that.
It's the best way to do science. Something like that.
It's something like that. Google it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I say he's friends with Darwin. He's not. He was... So Darwin massively... Darwin basically upstaged him.
Oh, shit.
And then overshadowed him. He was much more ambitious than old Russell Wallace. But, you know, Russell Wallace walked so Darwin could run. It's like Madonna and Lady Gaga. I don't know how to compare it. So the thing about Tring as well, sorry, I'm just giving you facts and then we'll get back to dick jokes. This collection of ornithological specimens houses 95% of all known bird species.
Whoa!
So that's a lot. 750,000 individual examples neatly tagged and stored in metal drawers.
750,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot of drawers.
Yeah. Well, 7 individual examples of the 95% of all known bird species. Now, early doors. Question. What kind of person do you think might have stolen these? Like a scientist, a psycho? Obviously, Taylor knows a bit more about this.
Somebody really hungry.
A nerd from the audience. Somebody
just
hungry.
Like, oh, I know they probably don't have the original stuff inside, but I'll fry them up. Take a chance.
I just think it's mad that there's a Natural History Museum somewhere other than London. Like, I've never heard of another
they're
one.
They're like outsourcing.
Right.
So if you're a bird specialist, go to Tring.
Well, you heard it here first, or probably second or third. I might be the only person that didn't know that.
If you're coming to this podcast for your Tring information, you have missed a turning.
Again, does everyone know where Tring is except me?
Okay, so Tring is in Hertfordshire, which is
heard of that.
Like 30 miles north of London. Lots you can get nature. The train there. Like it's a commuted town.
I've lived here for 20 years and I didn't know
no. where
it was. So I guess it's got to be someone like who... They've got to have access. So I imagine they got a job at the museum. That's how I'd
Ooh,
do it.
Ooh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So they may be... I think they work in the canteen.
Okay. Okay, so we've got chef from Anna.
Yeah, we got a chef. And there's like a little bird in the chef hat. Like Ratatouille, but not. So Pixar, if you're listening. And the bird is kind of pulling the hair and saying, go and save my ancestors from the drawer.
A character.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is it that?
I mean, that would be a great Pixar.
Would be, wouldn't it?
We'd all learn about history.
Yeah. Bird hat, they'd call it.
Bird hat. Coming
Phil
soon.
Bird hat.
And then all the birds would come alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's pitch it.
No. Let's do it.
And then you could eat them. I didn't have dinner. I'm so hungry.
And it's set in Tring. I think people would like it. It sounds like a made-up Pixar town.
Everyone would like it except Tring, and that's why it should happen.
Oh, this beef goes deep.
Oh, do you want to hear what?
Yes.
When I had a tiny baby, much like Hannah does now, my husband was doing a gig in Tring and they were like, you can stay in a hotel and do this gig. We arrived and there was a wedding at the hotel. So like, it was crazy. And then they were like, hey, go to your room. And in the room, like the toilet was blocked. So they were like, oh, just go to the bar and we'll sort it out. So we went to the bar, but we couldn't because there was a wedding. And then we were just like there in the middle of this really crowded bar. And this really angry man came up to us and went, you shouldn't, because he saw we had a baby, you shouldn't put nappies down the toilet. That's why it's blocked. But like, we didn't put the nappy down the toilet. And that's why I have beef with Tring. Yeah. Because everyone else in the room, they were like, oh my God, those idiots put that nappy down that toilet. Have you been accused of that yet?
You know what? No. No.
Oh, give it time.
But after birth, I did do a shit so big that it did block the toilet. And also, I found out that, like, after birth, I just tell people things all the time.
Yes.
I'm just like, I got a mole near my vagina, and I blocked a toilet.
It's just science now.
It's just science. It doesn't matter anymore.
It is.
Thank you all for coming.
All right.
What was the question?
Yeah, do you know what? It doesn't matter. Now, the police have no leads.
Oh, so what kind of person would do this?
Oh, yes.
I think someone sinister.
It must be some sort of crazy British eccentric. No offense.
No,
that's
this
what
is
I
good.
Imagined. Just like he wants to fill out his estate with like all these 299 birds.
That's good profiling. You know. That's good profiling.
Absolutely. And then he smuggled them out in his top hat.
All right, so we've got chef, eccentric Brit.
Somebody hungry. I started with somebody hungry.
Okay, somebody hungry.
Yeah,
okay,
I started so weak. It got better as we went. Sometimes you got to be that guy.
The police have no leads, so they appeal to the press. So this guy that's put in charge of the thing, this Richard Leigh, he's the director of science at the museum, and he declares that the skins were of immense historical importance. These birds are extremely scarce, he said. But meanwhile, they've worked out as well that a glass cutter had been used, and the entry point was a window at the back, which is the name of your sex name. But there's no fingerprints, so we can assume gloves were worn.
Is that the big thing through the small hole?
Yeah. Oh.
Score.
No one saw it. We're assuming it's at night. So we're working, you know, putting this all together. And then somebody in the police force starts to think laterally. And he looks something up on the internet that sheds some light on the case and becomes a lead. So question, what did the police see on the internet, caveat, that helps them with the case?
But someone Googled big things in small holes.
And they stayed on that site for a long, long time.
It's for the case. It's for the bird case.
Figure it out.
I mean, but it's an interesting question because it's basically like, what did they say on the internet? Like,
yeah.
On the...
So I can give you a clue.
I was going to say what I think the answer is for real.
Go on.
But what if I know it? Is that going to ruin it?
No, it'll save us some time, if anything.
I'm assuming that they saw some fishing lures and found out how valuable they are.
Yes.
Fishing lure? What is that? I know nothing.
So it's instead of putting a worm at the end of a hook, there are things that you keep permanently, and they're bright and colorful, and fish are attracted to them, and then they... I don't have to explain what happens next. I think we all know, and it's very upsetting. Until you eat the fish. Yeah, so it's called a lure, like you lure the fish in.
So the birds, how do the birds relate to this?
Because they use bird feathers to make them, right?
Yeah, so wait. Taylor has just saved us loads of time.
Like, nobody would have ever made that. Well, not me anyway.
I'm an efficiency expert.
So it's fly tying. I had a whole bit. I was like, no one knows what that is.
Wait, just tell us the clue. It's what was the clue going to be?
We're among intellectuals.
I was to see if we would have gotten there.
No, the clue was just about forums. It wasn't super...
Did you have a fly tying joke, though? Because you got to tell it.
No, I was just going to rip into you for not being intellectual, but you are intellectual. No, in a fun way.
I'm so glad I read one thing in the last 5 years.
But also, this is so niche and bizarre. The joke would be on me, because why would anyone know this?
Drunk women solving crime.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a Victorian hobby, so it's fly tying. So
British eccentric.
Yeah. British eccentric.
All Victorians all.
Absolutely.
But basically, yeah. So sometimes it's called Victorian salmon fly tying.
because that sounds like a dirty thing, like it Victorian really style fly tie.
It really does.
It's like
oh, my back is sore. Yeah. What'd you get up to last night? Oh, I'm a fly tie.
It's all that.
Three times.
But there was a rabid interest in natural history. And so this becomes, it's like a sports accessory. So these fishing hooks were elaborately decorated with brilliantly coloured feathers, bits of fur and special threads and stuff. They're ornamental, they're beautiful. They weren't very practical, but they were initially to attract fish, like Taylor said. But then everyone gets really carried away and then they have no intention of putting them in water to like actually catch fish.
They're just beautiful.
They're just beautiful.
And I kind of like that evolution just because my father did have a little fishing kit and I can remember like playing with it as a kid. And yes, I would stab my finger every time because I would forget that the hooks were really sharp. But I loved those because they were like jewelry.
Yes.
Like they're beautiful and it feels like a waste on a fish.
On the flip side, I used to go fishing with my dad.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I would always be like, have we got maggots? And he would be like, I would only go if he had maggots because I'd be like, I want to play with the maggots. That's a bit odd, isn't it? And I've got a picture of like, you have like ground bait and like, so we had some ground bait and I like put some maggots in the ground bait and made like a little cake. And there's like just a picture of me opening it to the camera going. And I was slightly unusual, I think, as a child. But I do know a little bit about fishing.
Okay, great.
Which is that you use maggots, and I didn't know about. Well, I guess it's fly fishing, isn't it? Is that what they call it? That's why it's fly fishing, yeah.
Did you also hold the maggots up to your ears in the mirror like I did?
Oh, my God. No, I didn't.
She means the feathers. To her face, she looked like she was going
to
cry.
I was just trying to think with it because I would hold the lures like, oh, they're earrings, because I wanted my ears pierced so badly. And then I would stab my finger again, and we didn't have the internet back then. So this is what you did.
Probably I didn't do maggot earrings. No, I didn't. Sorry.
This is excellent insight. We're all on the same page now. They're ornamental. It was a whole scene in the Victorian era. It was a vibe. It was collecting them was like Pokemon. I don't know. I keep trying to think of how to make... Go on.
Sorry. No, but like if they're an ornament, why not just keep them on the bird and the bird is the ornament?
That is a very good point. That is a very, very good point.
Sorry to get scientific. No,
like, yeah. Why anyway, fuck with it to start with? Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. Oh my God, but like exotic birds are so ugly. Like, have you ever seen one? They're so disgusting. They are like...
They need improvement.
Yeah. Also, this is weird because I've just remembered it's 2009.
Well, so now... Yeah. I was still
thinking 1920s. I thought I was right, but no.
So it came back like a hipster hobby, sort of, right? It's like we're all going to be on...
It never went away. It's niche. But so there's all these manuals for fly tying that was written in the Victorian era during this exciting movement. All these recipes and, you know, instructions for the best creations. People are doing it now in 2009 and even now. There's conferences. Like, it's a big deal. Like, it's niche.
Oh, but that's so niche. There's whole conferences about
it. There's money there. It's like Comic-Con, but not. It's like for fly tying. But it's an expensive hobby too. And it's mainly men with money that are doing this.
I was going to say, can we guess the group?
If you were to go, there'd be no queue for the ladies. But it can cost thousands of bucks just for one brightly coloured feather. They're very hard to come by. Name me your sex tape. Now, so the police go on these fly tying forums and they see feathers matching the descriptions of the missing exotic birds. And some of these feathers do come from stolen birds. Mm. Now, one police officer calls this the feather underground. Because while most of the feathers can be obtained legally, there is an extensive black market for the tufts of species now protected or endangered.
Wow. I love it. There's just this one bloke in Treng just going like, oh, it's the feather underground. That's what it is.
Great. That's indie band.
But there are like, you know, zealous 21st century fly tyers who insist on using authentic plumes. They want to do these original 19th century recipes.
Fucking rich people, man.
Yeah.
Just like, what?
Let it go. Right.
And that's exactly why the bird isn't enough. It's like, how can we manipulate what nature has made into something more?
Yeah.
Like Jurassic Park. Everything comes back to Japan.
Absolutely. Nicolas Cage and do it again.
Just like just be over the top is kind of like.
I can't do it. I want to.
All right. We'll do some more impressions of Nicolas Cage in a minute. Now, question.
Dinosaurs. No, I gotta work.
What?
Okay.
How many people are selling suspect exotic feathers on this forum?
Ooh. How many dirty, dirty thieves are there?
I think it's probably like one bloke, but with several different logins.
Ooh, okay.
Like that's it's that guy. Yeah. It's kind of like Naughty Fly Man 1 and Saucy Fly Boy 7.
Did they, the person, get out of that little hole as well, or just the birds?
That is a good question.
Yes, I want to go back to the hole too. We will come back to the hole, right?
Yes.
But don't you have questions about, like, did he butter himself in? Like, I want. Was there a lubricant? Exactly. Like, so you got a glass cutter, but it's still pretty sharp.
Okay. Anyway. So how many people are selling exotic feathers?
475.
Okay, 475.
I'll start the bidding.
One in different logins, Ginia.
Oh, I just have. I'm so logistical. Like, how many feathers were on each bird? maybe like 25.
Okay. In that case, Hannah is the closest. It was one person.
I mean, I was spot on, Julie.
But I will add, with one login.
With one login, okay. Damn it.
You're too specific, Hannah. Now, question. How easy was it to track down the people on this forum?
Oh. They're bored. They're rich. But how savvy are they about cybersecurity?
Yes.
They only had one login, so yeah. You could have done a better job. Yeah.
So, I think they do have a tough time, though. Okay. A bit of a tough time.
What, finding who these people are on the forum?
Yeah.
How big is Tring?
Yeah. The Tring ring. Yeah. No. Not everything has to be.
Wait, what was the question?
So this is it how easy is it to track down the people on this forum? You can just say hard or easy.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna say hard. Medium difficulty.
Medium difficulty?
Yep.
I reckon you could just say to them, like, I've got a pigeon feather, but it's a really good pigeon. And then send me your address and I'll send it to you.
Oh, you think they kind of, like, entrap them?
Do they go undercover? Yes!
Like, honey trap them.
Yes!
A feather narc. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, because, like, surely if you're buying something online, you have to give an address.
Right.
Yeah.
So they infiltrate.
Yes.
Ooh. I'm intrigued. Okay.
2009. I guess probably easy, right?
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah. No. Yeah, because we had way less tech.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Ginia gets it.
Oh.
It was super easy to track this person.
I thought you were doing the whole thing again. Yeah.
That's the thing. My supportive face looks really fake because I'm a naturally sarcastic person. I'm worried my children will need therapy when I'm trying to be really supportive. But, okay, so they do very quickly identify one Edwin Wrist.
Oh. Now, of course, his name's Edwin.
His name is Edwin.
Wrist.
He's
as well.
22-year-old. Yeah, R-I-S-T. Well, he has another name. We'll get to this.
Ooh.
He's selling feathers on these sites 15 months after the robbery/break-in. Mm-hmm. Now, they go around his address and they find all of the missing birds minus the stuff he sold.
Oh, wow.
Question, does he confess?
It's a very reasonable explanation.
Yeah. They flew in.
And then I didn't feed them. Oh my gosh. Does he say, like, I'm just holding them for a friend?
That's good, yeah. They flew in and I'm holding them for a friend. Are excellent guesses.
I feel like, because you're asking, he doesn't say, I'm bang to rights. He just sort of...
I'm just curious as to how you think this is going to go down.
I think he takes the policeman hostage. Maybe it's that.
Ooh, and does he make a fly out of the policeman's skin? Like, does it go a little...
It goes all Hannibal.
Yeah, a little Silence of the Lambsies.
Oh, that would be a more interesting case, probably. He did.
But is he living with his parents?
No.
Oh, it sounds like he's 22.
I'm going to tell you all about him in 1 second. But what happens here is he confesses immediately.
Oh!
Now, I will tell
Edwin.
You.
Edwin.
Who is Edwin Rist? Well, let me tell you. He was born in 1989.
Oh, he's younger than me.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when the criminals are younger than me.
I know. Ugh. Young people. He's actually, that makes him the same age as Taylor Swift.
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
That was a gasp, really.
And actually, like, he'd like a Swift, wouldn't he?
Hey. Hey
guys, yeah. I know my birds. I know my very common birds.
She's got a pun in.
Well done.
The whole very time I've been going, feather, is there anything to do with feather?
Like, Hannah can relax now. Yeah. So he was homeschooled by parents who bred labradoodles.
Okay.
But now...
I mean, that really gives a picture, doesn't it?
Now, the thing is, he's not British.
Oh.
He was homeschooled by parents who bred labradoodles in the Hudson Valley of New York.
Oh!
International.
Your fault. No,
it's my fault. Lovely part of the world.
So he was supposedly very clever, and by the time he was a teenager, prodigious at the flute.
Ooh.
Don't worry, I'm getting somewhere with this. He was also a keen fly tyer.
Okay.
And he was very good at it, and he became obsessed with it after seeing it on TV. So his parents had got him lessons, and he went to the conferences and stuff. He won lots of awards for his fly tying.
Okay.
Now, question, what extra thing had motivated Edwin to turn thief and want to make money in this way?
I guess that nobody wanted to have sex with him.
So, horn dog?
Yeah, it feels like there's probably a girl or a boy.
Okay, you think he's trying to impress?
I think it might be for love. I feel like you don't stage a kind of robbery of a museum if there's like if you're not going to get your dick wet.
Yeah, you don't.
What a horrible thing to say.
No, I get it. You don't push a big thing through a small hole unless there are some feelings involved.
Gonna impress a paramour? I'm just rephrasing that.
A paramour.
Dick wet Paramore. Go on.
Actually, sorry. Paramore are supporting Taylor Swift on her tour.
Are they really?
Yeah, and I'm going to see Taylor Swift on her tour. And I'm
You've
so excited
tickets.
About Paramore. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
I know. Bit of a, oh, no one's happy for me.
Damn right they're not.
Sorry, but Paramore,
wow.
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited.
Wasn't that really hard to get tickets to, Hannah?
It was, but I didn't get them. My friend did. So.
Oh, wow.
It's not a great story, but I'm just excited with Paramore. But yes, what's... Where are we?
Is Paramore the, like, never down one side? That
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That one, yeah.
Those are like two obscure songs, but...
I didn't really do it justice.
Wait, where were we?
I think it was drugs.
Drugs was his motivation.
Oh, man. Edwin was high.
Okay, so now, no one is quite right.
No.
But it is kind of a selfish reason, really. Now, Edwin's parents were struggling financially when he wanted to go off to college. Obviously, we've just had the big crash. And basically, the crash hit the Labradoodles too. Nobody was exempt from the credit crunch crash thing. So anyway, we're in 2009 now.
Credit crunch crash. I love that.
I just like, what's weird is I live through this. And I'm like, oh God, do you remember when everyone came making those fucking jokes about cereal? Oh, the credit crunch, not Frosties. Anyway, he wanted to go off to college and there's no money because the Labradoodle market had really dropped off in 2009. Now, specifically, he wanted to study music and the flute at London's Royal Academy of Music. He's a real Anglophile, this guy. But he needs a new flute if he wants
to. I want to have sex with him now. I did say that in the last case as well. So I feel like I just want to have sex with criminals.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We he needs a new flute if he wants to compete with the top echelons of the musicians. And so that was why he said he formed this cunning plan. So question, how did he get access to the museum to know where all the exotic birds were? Because he had a plan.
Well, I did suggest earlier that perhaps he got a job there. That feels like... I'm going back to chef.
Yes, you did. All right, chef.
Like work experience, he interned.
Ooh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm still thinking about the logistics. How would he have gotten in and out? But nobody noticed, right, you said?
Yes.
I'm getting too into this. maybe he would have been outside of the museum. Oh, no, wait. The hole's too small. He couldn't get in through the hole. He's a night guard.
Ooh, night guard, nice. Okay, so...
That was too enthusiastic. That means it was wrong.
Well, also, I was just thinking, like, I have keys, and yet... I feel like a challenge is on the cards.
But that would throw them off, wouldn't it?
Yeah, actually, yeah.
But what he does is he writes a letter to them under a false name, and he says he's a researcher. And
Bedman Worst.
Because Tring's part of the Natural History Museum, they let him do this, so he hops on the train to Tring. There were no train strikes in 2009. We were still in the European Union. The Tories weren't even in power in 2009. I'm sorry. It was the last semi-prosperous year of the UK. So he had a great time. So he tours the facility, and he'd brought with him a camera, and he snaps loads of pictures on this tour, and they show him the metal drawer with all the tagged specimens, and he drew a diagram and wrote a plan of how to get into Tring Museum.
Wow.
And then
you're so turned on.
He can draw. He can draw a circle.
I know what else he'd be able to find. What a shame.
So he leaves in a few months, and then he times the break-in for just after he plays a concert in London. And the thing I find interesting about that is, like, apart from, like, maybe that's an alibi, like, oh, yeah, I was at this concert. You know, like, when you live out of town, but you want to, like, stack up what you're doing when you go in. So I have got that marketing meeting,
it
so I might
sense.
As well
he
get
had
a haircut
before it. Absolutely.
And then just rob the museum, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like, that all checks out.
Yeah, met his friend.
Had a coffee, got his nails done. And so he did exactly what we talked about before. He had latex gloves and a glass cutter. He entered through the window at the back. He stole 299 birds, stuffing them into a duffel bag in his backpack.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he
That's
said
a
about...
big duffel.
These birds might have been tiny, right?
Maybe they're little.
They're not
have
like
you
ostriches.
Been picturing enormous birds? Because I have really big, bright
flamingos.
Like yes, big old things. But no.
And then he sold them. Final question: what kind of punishment did Edwin Rist receive?
Now this I don't know because I never finish what I read. I get bored towards the end.
No duvets for a year.
Ooh.
Pecked to death. That would be
pecked
fitting.
To death.
Wow.
Tickle torture with the feathers. Torture. We've got some great suggestions from the audience.
I mean, that would fit the crime.
Yeah. Slap on the wrist, yes.
Oh, wrist, nice. Yeah. Really nice. Well, Amanda, edit it and pretend I said that. Okay. Was it a slap on the wrist?
Did they put him in jail, but it was actually a cage? It was a bird cage.
Oh, like some ironic art installation.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Junior?
He had to live in Tring.
He had to live in Tring. That would be a good punishment. There's an angry man there. So he gets released and serves no jail time.
Did he give them all labradoodles as a bribe? How? This
white man, yeah. Yeah. Coincidentally, it was. There was outrage at the time. It caused some controversy, but he got a suspended sentence. He was free to go, and he graduates, and he moved to Germany, and he changed his name, but I will tell you his name, because it's not a secret. Now he's Edwin Reinhard.
Okay.
And
And he does porn?
No, but he does post videos of himself on YouTube playing heavy metal flute.
What's his Instagram? I'm going to follow him.
Yeah. You can find, genuinely, you can find him, Edwin Reinhardt, on YouTube playing heavy metal flute.
Wow.
It's one of the world's strangest heists, and there's a book by Kirk Wallace Johnson called The Feather Thief. But let's raise a glass to some old birds. Now, I know that some of you have been thinking about some crimes that you want to tell us about. So does anybody have a crime? Oh, Sarah in the front.
Everybody's.
Everyone's got a crime. Okay.
Sarah, welcome to the female workplace. What's your crime?
Well, it is a crime. I'm taking you back to the early 90s. Okay. I was about 16, 17 years old. So.
Like 10 years ago. Yep.
Absolutely. So 1990, 1991, I had a beautiful mongrel dog called Nicky, who I'd had since I was 11. So he was about 6 or 7 years old. And what happened was one night, fast asleep, mum and dad in their bedroom, mine and mine, and all of a sudden, massive knock on the door. Mum and dad get up. I follow down behind. Three massive policemen standing at the door. Can we go into your back garden, please? Two other policemen going down the side alley to go to the back garden. And a gentleman had managed to jump through three gardens into our back garden, knocked over the wheelie bins, because 1990s, we did have wheelie bins. They found him with massive torches in the pear tree in the middle of our garden. Hiding in our, trying to hide in a pear tree.
Was this at Christmas?
I mean, he was not a partridge. Oh. The best bit about it was that we had three massive policemen running through our house, two going round the back anyway, and my dog slept through it all.
So there was a police chase in your house with an intruder and your dog slept through
it. My dog slept through
it. Amazing.
Oh, he wasn't a greyhound, Taylor. Because a greyhound would have, like, snored.
I know. People are like, yeah, you must feel so safe now that you have two greyhounds. And I'm like, ugh.
The irony was that our next door neighbour had been burgled twice, and people had said to us that, you know, you must feel really safe with your dog.
Yeah.
Did they ever find out what had the guy done?
What was he running from?
No idea. They literally brought him round the back. They got him out of the tree, brought him round the back. The dog did not wake up.
Oh, I love this dog.
He also managed to not wake up during two thefts of bikes from our alleyway as well. So literally, like, gravel. We had a gravel driveway, and they would have had to walk past our front window down the alleyway, and the dog did not wake up.
I love how safe he felt. That makes me so happy.
It's looking for the silver lining. I was about to say, we don't have to solve that. They caught it, but now there's bike thefts. But it was probably the same guy, right?
Yeah.
I also,
thank you for sharing. Here is your prize.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Oh, I was just saying, I love that as you were telling that story, just round the back two police cars went by like 20 years later, coming for him.
Yeah. Now, we have just enough time to hear more about our guest, Jinia Cheng. Please tell us, what are you up to? Where can we find more about you?
I do things. I guess you can just follow me on Instagram, @JiniaPie. Because I'm original. And I guess I'll post things that I do on there.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, awesome.
The amount of people that will be like, on their followers, that will be following you, then following Edwin Reinhardt.
I know. That's what the first thing I'm going to do is, I mean, he's only 1 year younger than me, so, you know. All that bird
she's
money.
So young.
Oh my gosh, if you guys ended up together.
When you guys post this episode, I'll send it to him. For real. For real, I will. I love metal music. I do.
Honestly,
I actually do. Maybe not flute metal. I don't know what that is, but
I had a little watch when I was researching this case. Uh-huh. It was interesting. He was getting lots of positive comments, though. I don't know if he moderates. That was the bitchiest thing I've ever said in my life. I'm not that guy. Sassy Katie!
Sassy Katie!
And actually, this is the last live show that I will be doing. So thank you for being such an amazing audience for my swan song.
Your swan song, because that's another bird.
Yeah. La, la, la.
Yes, Katie is flying the nest like an exotic bird.
Yes.
And we will miss her so.
We will. Yes. I can hear.
Is there a...
Yeah! Is
oh.
There...
Oh, I'm in for Kate!
Oh. Oh my god!
Katie, we do!
What?
Oh my god!
For the listeners, the producer just gave me flowers. Oh my god!
There will never be another sasshole, and although the force will go on, because there are crimes to be solved.
There are crimes to be solved.
We will miss our sasshole.
We will.
Yay! Oh.
Ah. Sorry you have to take those home now.
I look beloved, it's fine.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Oh, man, well, I still have to round out the show, so I've got to somehow say goodbye.
Do we not hold those for you?
Yeah.
Come on.
Thank you so much. Everyone else is back here next month. The show will go on. I love you. Goodbye. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening. Bye!
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.